This Wednesday, Steven Spielberg's version of The War of the Worlds opens in movie theaters around the country. The film is based on H.G. Wells' classic novel, which has been transformed many times since it was published in 1898. Most famous is Orson Welles' 1938 radio play that frightened millions who mistook it for a news report. There was a musical War of the Worlds, a television series, and a 1953 movie that won an Oscar for special effects. That film version appeared during a wave of science fiction movies that hit American screens in the 1950s, with warnings of flying saucers, lethal robots, monsters from the id, and mutant critters. And as we hear in this report from Pat Dowell, it was a time of fear in the United States.
Hey there! Open up! Come on out! We're friends!
That's right! We welcome you! We're friends! Yeah!
The War of the Worlds, vintage 1953, as some ordinary Californians have a close encounter with a meteorite that's really the flagship of a Martian invasion. The film was part of a phalanx of science fiction movies that were about being afraid, says Peter Kuznick, who teaches Cold War history and culture at American University in Washington, D.C. He says the news was scary.
1949. You've got the communist takeover in China, which should have been expected but wasn't really expected by most of the American public. You've got the Soviet nuclear test, the first atomic bomb test in August of 1949. Following that, you've got the revelations about Klaus Fuchs and atomic espionage. The government is warning about the danger of communism spreading internationally, but also spreading within.
Kuznick says that Hollywood itself was the first place Congress looked for subversives, so movies and television tried to cash in on the news of the day more indirectly. In particular, Kuznick says, by playing on America's fear of new and often hidden dangers.
So we've got the sense that radiation is invisible, but it's creating these horrible monsters. It's creating giant grasshoppers in the beginning of the end.
Locusts, actually.
The locusts are moving on the downtown area.
Ants the size of Cadillacs.
Get the other antenna! He's helpless without them!
Also scorpions, tarantulas.
And it's also creating enormous human beings, the 50-foot woman or the amazing colossal man. He's, what, 60 feet when he's marching around there in Las Vegas.
I'm Carol, Glenn. Please put me down.
Put her down! Put the girl down!
While we can joke about these and see these as silly movies that are intended to frighten people, combine that with a federal campaign on civil defense, warning people that this is a real threat. So Americans do feel very, very vulnerable during this time.
Vulnerable not just because of the invisible threat of radiation, but because the enemy, or the body snatcher, could be your next-door neighbor.
The thing about the subversives is that you can't see them. Or if you see them, you can't tell normal Americans from saboteurs.
Back in the 1950s, there was another concern, just who was protecting us. Peter Biskind wrote, Seeing is Believing, How Hollywood Taught Us to Stop Worrying and Love the 50s. He says the alien invasion in these movies was just the setup for the real struggle, the ideological combat between power elites in American society.
What you saw was a complicated interplay between science and the military in terms of which got to run the attack on the invaders. Who had authority in this society, in other words, scientists or the military, which reflected a real battle going on in the 50s between the science establishment, which in fact had invented the A-bomb, and the H-bomb, in the military for control essentially over domestic policy. And what's at issue here is whether you use force or whether you use persuasion. There are some films in which both the scientists and the military are bad, which I would call left-wing films, where the alien is good.
And the epitome of that is The Day the Earth Stood Still, in which a handsome alien visitor arrives with his robot bodyguard to deliver an ultimatum. The director of the film was Robert Wise, before he won his Oscars. Looking back on the film, he said the whole point of making it was to deliver the final speech. He spoke to NPR in 2001.
That's one of the things about The Day the Earth Stood Still that was so good about the speech at the end, you know, that where he says, the world better get along together or we're going to have to be eliminated.
It is no concern of ours how you run your own planet. But if you threaten to extend your violence, this earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder. Your choice is simple. Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration. We shall be waiting for your answer. The decision rests with you.
And I think you can get good messages through messages of importance in science fiction films. Mm. You don't have to stick to actual reality.
But in The Day the Earth Stood Still, it's not clear that humans get the message. After all, they kill the messenger at the beginning of the movie. He has to rise from the dead before he can even try to make them see the light. Religion plays a part in a number of science fiction films of the era. In the 1953 version of The War of the Worlds, it's not the military or science that stops the invasion. The Martians succumb to bacterial infection.
After all that men could do had failed, the Martians were destroyed and humanity was saved by the littlest things which God in his wisdom had put upon this earth.
50 years after that movie, the story's being told again. And of course, America fears attack again, looks for invisible subversives again, finds elites still battling for control of domestic policy, still argues about when to use diplomacy and when to use force, and feels the frustration of seeing our military once again confronted by powers we can't always identify or understand, says historian Peter Kuznick.
That combined with the fact that there is such an emphasis on nuclear weapons and nuclear threats, and the possibility that we could be on the verge of nuclear anarchy. So the sense of threats to the Americans is heightened once again, and I think we're going to see that increasingly in the movies also, although Hollywood is pretty conservative at this point, and there doesn't seem to be much stomach in Hollywood, at least, given the enormous budgets for these films, to do anything very radical or anything that really challenges the status quo too overtly.
We have to wait until Wednesday to find out if Steven Spielberg will use his version of the story to ponder why Americans are running for their lives again. For NPR News, this is Pat Dowell.